Great Creator, listen to us and our concerns. Send meaning through these words or in spite of them. Amen. The earth was created through wisdom. In this library we call the Bible, one of the stories that keeps repeating is that God created the universe through wisdom. In the story we read today from the book of Proverbs, wisdom is speaking, and wisdom makes a pun. She calls out that she was there at the beginning, the master architect of creation. And the phrase can also mean a child at play in creation. It's a deliberate pun. It is a joyful story. In the book of Genesis, which means the beginning, the story says God made the universe not in violence or in anger. God made the universe in love, made light and rain and ocean and sky, made land and creatures of the air and the sea and cattle and all good things and people. And all of these things fit together. The writers of Genesis say that people were made to tend the earth. And the word is the same word used to describe a gardener. We were made to tend the earth like a gardener. And these are the stories of the Old Testament, the words of the wise from thousands of years ago. Those who looked at the earth and the skies and the stars and the people and saw that they were good. And in these stories, we hear a call to humanity, a call to those who are not wise to seek wisdom. And then, at a time of war and oppression, came a man we call Jesus of Nazareth. And the writer of the Gospel of John describes him in this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In some traditions, that's translated as, in the beginning was the Tao. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. This is our story, that the world came into being through wisdom, that God creates the universe, and with it, the possibility of being and relating. And God tends the universe, mending the broken, reconciling the estranged. God enlivens the universe, guiding all things towards harmony with their source. God is creative and self-giving, moving in all the near and distant corners of the universe. Nothing exists that does not find its source in God. And our first response to God's providence is gratitude. Each part of creation reveals unique aspects of God the Creator, who is both in creation and beyond it. All parts of creation, animate and inanimate, are related. All creation is good. We sing of the Creator, who made humans to live and move and have their being in God, and in and with God, because we can move our lives towards right relationship with one another and with God. We can discover our place as one strand in the web of life. This is our story. This week, though, we have been overwhelmed by a different story. We have seen photographs of the bodies of children floating in waters where they should be playing like wisdom in creation. And our hearts are wrung out. And depending on who we are reacting with variations on a terrible feeling of helplessness and sorrow. It may be too much for us. We've turned it off. Or maybe we don't even want to think of it, and so we've ignored it. Or perhaps we've just withdrawn our emotions and tried to distance ourselves so that we can disconnect ourselves from those who are suffering and believe it has nothing to do with us. Or, and this is a pretty common reaction across the world, we are terrified of what it could mean for us. Should our communities take in more refugees? Should we demand that our government change its policies? Should we turn these people away, telling ourselves, it's not our responsibility? I was sitting in a tea shop yesterday and I overheard one of those kinds of conversations. And it made my heart break to hear people building up justifications for building walls and throwing children back into war. We've been immersed this week in the Syrian story, often without much background or understanding. So it's helpful to know that the two stories are related. The story of the Syrian civil war and the story of creation and our role as God's gardeners. Because the story of the Syrian civil war begins in climate change. It doesn't begin with ISIS. This was happening long before. The drought we went through this summer is pale beside the drought that Syria has been suffering for almost 15 years. Farms that have been productive for thousands of years have withered and died. 85% of the livestock died. In the countryside, people lost everything. But remember that Syria was not a destitute, impoverished country. It wasn't a country of ill-educated peasants. Syria has been a modern nation like ours. They had vibrant cities, great universities, a well-educated population like ours. Cities were full of doctors and lawyers and engineers, of people well-trained in the trades, of people planning for the children of the future. These people knew that the government of Syria, of Bashar al-Assad, was not helping. Instead, he used the crisis to give his friends and family the only rights to dig wells. He gave them control of the water. And when farmers dug wells, they were considered illegal. Farmers were arrested, tortured, and killed. Students in the city started to protest. They, too, were arrested and tortured and murdered. And as more people crowded into the cities desperate for work, the cities ran short of water. And the protests became stronger, and the protesters started to fight back. And al-Assad responded with some of the most violent repression ever seen in a modern-day regime. He dropped poison gas on his own people. He killed whole families. He bombed his own cities, and the country dissolved. There is not a single city that is entirely left standing in Syria. And to protect their children, people ran. They ran everywhere, Jordan, Egypt, Israel, and to Europe. In the midst of all this, the war in Iraq and the extremist ISIS forces began their own war with Syria. I'm telling you this for two reasons. There's an old proverb that you may have heard before, that when you find babies floating down the river, some people need to rescue the babies. But some people need to go upstream and find out who's throwing babies in the water. In the conversations I heard yesterday on the bus, in the tea shop, in stores, some people felt we had no responsibility for what was happening. I even heard, those refugees should stay and fight ISIS. I was thinking about three-year-olds. We need to remember that ISIS isn't really the problem here. In fact, there are probably people who would welcome ISIS if they just stopped the Syrian government. I heard, though, from some that we should march on Ottawa and demand an immediate increase in the number of refugees accepted. That kind of made me smile. And I heard people talking about building walls, and that made me sad. And I heard one man saying, "We have the resources to help. We can change this if we could just work together." And I heard another woman say, "How can I help and what can I do?" And I was thinking, as I heard some of the stupid things politicians were saying, about this quote from the prophet Jeremiah. "How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the war trumpet? For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are like stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins. This is the season we are to celebrate. We celebrate creation. That is, we celebrate the creating act of God. Most Christians and most Jews and most Muslims who share the story with us understand that the story is much more important than a literal recipe for building a world. We don't worry about how many days it took, but we celebrate the beauty. We celebrate that the world was made in love and in wisdom. We celebrate that we have been given a task to tend the earth. And like any good gardener, we know that that takes work and sometimes sacrifice, and sometimes, after the storm, it means starting over. If there has ever been a time when the work of God for us was laid before us, this was it. There are those whose work will be to tend the earth, those whose work will be to welcome the stranger, and there are those whose work will be to go upstream and stop babies being thrown in the water. We do this not just in desperation, but in the knowledge that Christ came to teach us of resurrection as well as compassion. We have been given a library of wisdom, and so I read to you now these words of hope from the prophet Isaiah to remember when it seems overwhelming. The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, the display of his glory. And they shall build up the ancient ruins, and they shall raise up the former devastations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. You shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. We are the ministers of God, every one of us. We have a task, each of us. Let's take a moment of silence to pray for the strength we need for the task before us.